Hello, fantasy managers. Welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast on the Pitchless Podcast Network. My name is Carson Picard. I'll be your host for this weekend edition of the pod, and no beating around the bush. Let's get into everything baseball related from Friday, April 17th. And we will start with just a couple bits of injury news. Daniel Palencia and Zach McKinstry both hit the IEL for 15 and 10 days, respectively, for Palencia, left oblique strain, and for McKinstry, left hip abdominal inflammation. For those of you in deeper leagues, do make note of that. On some recovery news, though, because we don't really have a lot of other transactions to talk about, thankfully, Juan Soto, Adley Rutschman, and Tyler O'Neill were in the reports for having positive recovery signs, so they should be coming back to baseball activities relatively soon. We move on to a full slate of games from Friday, and we will start with our hitters and our top hitter of the day. This was not clear cut. I had to deliberate on it, but I am going to take Nico Hoerner as my top hitter of the day. And the reason is because it's not often we see contact hitters hit a home run, go 3 for 5, and raise their average up to 342. And that's what Nico Hoerner did. He is off to a sensational start to the year. Someone that in shallower leagues might even be available. He's someone that has been one of the most productive players in baseball over this stretch, but less so on fantasy purposes. But he went 3 for 5 with a home run today. So shout out to Nico Hoerner. Great performance. Both the Cubs and the Mets had 14 hits, so it was a bit of an offensive showcase in Wrigley today. Moving on to Daniel Sheneman. Went 2 for 4 with a grand slam. He's quietly off to a pretty nice start. And anytime someone hits a grand slam, I think it's worth mentioning. Michael Harris, the second, went 3 for 4 with a home run. Austin Riley joined him with a home run. In fact, he joined him with two, going 2 for 4, going long both times. The Braves had a big win and over the Phillies today, but Bryce Harper went 3 for 5 with a triple, and he's quietly hitting .286, I think, with a 932 OPS. I think Bryce Harper, most people have not necessarily written off, but I haven't heard his name very much this year. He's off to a really nice start in the batter's box. Matt Chapman went 3 for 5 from the hot corner, and Daniel Susak from the catcher position, he is hitting over 500, and admittedly a crazy short sample, but went 2 for 5 today. So continuing some strong form when he's been behind the dish. The Pirates are fun, man. O'Neill Cruz, 1 for 4 with a home run today. And Brandon Lau, Marcell Ozuna, and Spencer Horowitz all had 3-hit days themselves, as the Pirates are just continuing to show more life offensively than they frankly have in years. Ben Rice, what more can you say? Ben Rice went 2 for 4 with a home run, OPS over 1,200. He is just been absolutely sensational. Aaron Judge went 1 for 4 with a stolen base, and I'm bringing that up because it's his 4th stolen base, and Judge has kind of quietly incorporated stolen bases more into his game over the last few years. And so, you know, just in case there's anything Judge can improve on more, it's that. Otto Lopez went 3 for 5, just a double shy of the cycle, and I really wanted to put him on as a hitter of the day, but it's an honorable mention, I suppose, for Lopez. Triple, home run, a single, couldn't get the double to get the job done, but he's continuing a phenomenal start to his year. Ivan Herrera is really starting to get into form, and folks, I mean, he's so close to getting catcher eligibility, and that's totally going to change the game for Herrera in fantasy purposes. He went 2 for 4 with a home run. Get him absolutely everywhere. Yordan Alvarez, 2 for 4, and he hit another. I mean, he is so good. Yordan Alvarez, just OPS over 1,200. He's absolutely sensational. Max Muncy for the Los Angeles Dodgers went 3 for 4 with 2 home runs in Coors. He is off to a pretty dang good start to the year, but pretty much every one of the Dodgers are. They are 15-4 as of recording. Muto-Teke Murakami went 3 for 5, which is pretty notable for so many reasons, but he had a grand slam today. And it went a mile. It was absolutely crunched too. It was not a wall scraper. I think about 4:30 or something like that to dead center. Murakami, a great day. And then Josh Young to close this out went 3 for 5, but 6 total bases because all of them were doubles in the Rangers win over the Mariners. They had 15 hits on the day. So You can argue me in the comments about my top hitter pick, but I got to give credit to Nico Horner because he rarely gets the flowers I think he deserves anyway. Check out the Daily Batters Box article for more information on every big hitter performance from the previous day. And we now move on to the starters, and I'll start with my pitcher of the day. Again, this might be a little controversial, but I think I got to give him his flowers when it's due. Casey Mize went 6 2/3 with no earned runs, 3 hits, 7 Ks, 1 walk, 94 pitches. 14 whiffs, 32% or 32 CSW percent. Mize guys, I'm a Mize guy. If you're any Mize guys out there, please rise up, take a bow. This was a phenomenal performance from Casey Mize. One of his best. And the stuff, your location grades weren't necessarily phenomenal, but the results speak for themselves. Really excellent performance there. Jacob DeGrom went 4 scoreless frames with 4 hits, 3 Ks, 2 walks on 88 pitches. Not a very efficient outing for DeGrom, which is a little weird considering this was in Seattle. You'd expect that to suit him really well. Not necessarily. Just 9 whiffs, 20 CSW percent. That being said, the pitch modeling graded out really well. Stuff and locations were very nice. He wasn't missing bats. The ERA is still fantastic for Jacob DeGrom. And come on, eat Jacob DeGrom. He's amazing. Kodai Senga went 3 1/3 innings pitch, got 10 outs and took 6 earned runs and able in order to do it. 6 hits, 3 Ks, 3 walks, 65 pitches. Ugh. Senga confuses me for so many reasons. The velocity has ticked up this year, and yet it seems like everything has gone backwards for him. Just unable to really get people out efficiently. And Senga has been just dismal. The ERA is over 8 right now. I don't think you should be starting him really at all. Maybe not even roster him at this point. It's rough. Tanner Bibee. This was a huge outing for Bibee. 6 scoreless frames, 4 hits, 5 Ks, 3 walks, 96 pitches. Wasn't the best in terms of the strikeouts to walk ratios, but 17 whiffs, 32 CSW percent. And he needed this because he was off to a very slow start. This was a very nice outing in terms of the results. The modeling wasn't half bad either. Very nice outing for Tanner Bibee. Logan Webb, 6 innings pitched, just missed a quality start, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 6 Ks, 2 walks, and 99 pitches. What do you do? What do you do, frankly? This was a bit of an odd one. I don't know where to stand on Logan Webb. He's got a 5.4 ERA, which is just not great, but you look at some of the things and evaluation going to be needed for Webb. Cam Schlittler, 6 scoreless frames tossed, 2 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks, 93 pitches. Was not the most outrageously brilliant start for Schlittler, but is he the best pitcher in baseball right now? I mean, he's been absolutely sensational in April, and I think he's worthy of having his name thrown in the discussion because of just how effective he has been. Joe Ryan went 6 innings, 1 earned run. Due to a Josh Bell error, it was 2 runs allowed, 3 hits, 6 Ks, 2 walks, 94 pitches, 10 whiffs, 32 CSW percent. Joe Ryan, also someone that's been off to a little bit of an interesting start, had a really nice outing here against the Cincinnati Reds. Jose Soriano, 5 2/3 innings, just missed the quality start, but, scoreless, 2 hits, 8 Ks, 4 walks, and then 99 pitches, 13 whiffs, 29% CSW. The walks definitely got to him. Jose Soriano is a guy that has had that really affect him in the past, but ace is going to ace, maybe? We'll see where Nick ends up placing him on the list later. I suspect he's not going to get that tag for quite some time, but fantastic adding. Last pitcher I want to talk about here is Peter Lambert, who, if you don't know who that is, neither did I. Peter Lambert, first time pitching in Major League Baseball since 2024, was pitching in the Rockies organization as a spot starter and reliever primarily, went 5 innings for Houston as they are desperately in needing of pitching. 5 innings for Houston, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 8 Ks, 1 walk, 90 pitches. Not the most incredible line. That being said, 23 whiffs. The whiff rate was over 40%, and the CSW was also at about 40%. So, huh? That's my reaction to that, basically. A name to keep in mind, because in terms of the swing and miss, that is a pretty ridiculous line. And he had the most whiffs on the day by quite a country mile. So If you want to know more about everyone that pitched every day in Major League Baseball, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen or check out Nick's daily SP roundup, of course. And I am going to take a short break and you will listen to some lovely ads, very likely. And I'll come back with the relievers and the previews for today. All right, welcome back to the First Pitch podcast on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. We move on here to our relievers. Not a ton to talk about, quite frankly. A lot of these games are blowouts. They're not necessarily save heavy. But we do have a handful. Ryan Helsley collected a save today. It is his sixth. Jose Suarez collected a three-inning save. Not really anything that's notable for fantasy purposes, but whenever you get a three-inning save, they're kind of fun to mention. His first of the year. David Bednar picked up his sixth save of the year for the New York Yankees today. Trevor Megill, we've been talking about it. The Brewers bullpen's a little bit interesting, but he picks up his fourth save of the year. And then Paul Sewald picks up his seventh save for the Diamondbacks. And for the bullpen, that's been just so strange. With the Diamondbacks, Sewald has seemed to be pretty consistent so far and is certainly getting a lot of shares of closing and save opportunities. Who blew it? As we look to blown saves again, not really too many today. Camilo Duval did blow it, and I want to bring this up because he had the very rare win and blown save line, because baseball stat keeping and saves are just funny like that. Yankees were at home. He blew the save. They tied it. They took the lead again in the eighth. Bednar comes in, closes the game in the ninth. Camilo Duval is the pitcher that is out there when the Yankees retake the lead. Baseball. And the other one of who blew it, the entire Guardians bullpen. Everyone not named Hunter Gaddis blew it. I'm just going to flip to the game because I think it's absolutely hilarious. So this is what went down in the Guardians-Orioles game. And I'm going to have a little bit of extended time to talk about this because, oh my God. The Guardians are leading 4-0 after taking a 4-2 after scoring four runs in the seventh. Top of the eighth comes on the Orioles. It's Sean Armstrong who comes out. He does not record an out, allows two walks, has to be taken out of the game. And then Eric Sobrowski comes in. He allows a hit, a walk, gets just two batters out. Armstrong then has three batters he's responsible for as he hit a batter as well. And all of those runs come around to score. Sobrowski is responsible for two runs as well. And then remember, it was a 4-0 game. Eric Brogdon has to come out now. There's three runs that have already crossed. And he has a blown save as the Orioles put up a six spot in the top of the eighth. The Guardians do not recover. They do lose 4-6 in one of the most hilarious kind of six outs in baseball you're going to see between the bottom of the seventh and the top of the eighth. And I just want to spend extended time to talk about that because it is really funny. So we go on now to the Full City Games. Well, first, check out Rick Graham's weekly reliever articles. It's been a couple short episodes here. I've been trying to cut back on exactly how many players I talk about in each of the pitching and hitter segment. But we also just haven't had a lot of crazy relievers and not a lot of news at the top of the episode, which is nice for me. So looking forward to the slate of games on Sunday, April 18th. I know what day it is. April 18th, full slate of games, top three pitching matchup. I just realized it's Sunday. Maybe I don't know what day it is. Saturday, April 18th, top three pitching matchups. Milwaukee at Miami. It's going to be Brandon Woodruff versus Sandy Alcantara. This is going to be a pretty interesting one. Woodruff's been a little iffy to start the year. The ERA looks really nice. Sandy Alcantara looked fantastic at first, had a shaky outing last time out. Can he bounce back from that rough start against the Tigers? Tampa Bay Rays at the Pittsburgh Pirates. Drew Rasmussen versus Paul Skeens. Rasmussen's got a little bit of buzz as people are kind of realizing he's still on a per inning basis, just one of the most effective pitchers in baseball in terms of preventing runs. He's going to come against a pretty hot Pittsburgh offense. And of course, anytime Paul Skeens takes a mound, as much must watch baseball. Texas at Seattle, Nathan Eovaldi versus George Kirby. As if you've listened to the podcast by now, you see there's some rotations I like a lot more than others. Texas and the Mariners, Texas and Seattle, they are both up there, and they're very fun rotations. But the game of the day, this one, I saw it on the schedule, and I knew immediately this is the game of the day, no question about it. Braves at Phillies at 7:15 Eastern. Chris Sale versus Christopher Sanchez. This is a battle of two elite left-handed pitchers. A lot of phenomenal bats. These guys are absolutely sensational. It's going to be a heavyweight bout in all aspects, and for teams that most certainly are trying to get into playoff position. And sure, it's only April, but every single game counts. And even these two, it's going to be a big deal. So that is a wrap up for the full slate of games. And that is going to be the First Pitch podcast for today. For a deeper dive on everything baseball, hop on to pitcherlist.com for further access. Sign up to PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord. And for PL Pro subscribers, you can use PLV apps. And also, PL Pro subscribers can now access the PLV game cards that are posted on our Twitter and Blue Sky accounts. Please follow us there if you haven't already at PitcherList PLV. But also, you can now access and create those lovely cards yourself with a PL Pro subscription. And of course, it supports the PL staff, which we all greatly appreciate. That was a lot of words. Finally, my name is Carson Picard. You can find me on the Shallows podcast on Fridays with my great co-host Eric Henderson, as well as on Blue Sky at Carson Picard. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck with the weekend and the rest of your fantasy weeks. Bless the knees, bless the elbows, and take care, y'all.